chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Now this is a lengthy passage. I'm going to read Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. But I'm not going to go slow. I'm going to kind of press my way through because I know it's Father's Day, and I know we want to enjoy our fathers and take them out to eat, so I'll get to it. So Luke chapter 15, I will be reading verses 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and on wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said, before he could finish what he was going to say in the first place, the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the robe, the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." I'm almost finished. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatty calf because he is back safe and sound.' But the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet never gave me even a young goat so he could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatty calf for him.' But then the father replied, 'My son,' the father said, 'you always are with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. Be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This morning, I'd like to bring to your hearing and preach the word coming from this specific verse. It's verse 24. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate." Wow. I think each and every last one of us at one point in time in our life was a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. I have so many examples. When I was writing this, I kept getting conflicted thoughts about how could I come about and give an example. When we were teens, when I was a teen, my dad could love with his hands. He could work with his hands. And he could discipline with his hands. And occasionally a belt or a switch. It only took my mother one time to call him up at his barbershop. It was unfortunate his barbershop was only 2 minutes away from the house. Because when we did stuff, me and my brother, we actually deserved it. And I just used this one thing. I just got kind of, you know, beside myself, old term, start smelling myself. And back then, report cards wasn't sent home. I was born in 1970, spent my high school years in the late 80s, so they wrote our grades down on report cards. So it wasn't hard to change certain grades around. I could make an F look like an A. You just draw that line down. Make the lines connect. Make that little line in the F go over just a little bit. Round your edges. I got pretty good at it. But they don't, to my recollection, I don't even think they do that anymore. But I was stupid back then. So I did it one too many times because I had got away with it once. So I tried it again. And I had tried it so many times that I had to go to summer school. My mom, this is true, my mom came to check me out from school one day to go to a funeral of an aunt. And when she said, yeah, my son is in the 11th grade, she said, hold up, he's in a 10th grade homeroom. In order for him to make up and go on to the 11th grade this summer, he's going to have to take two classes. She said, hold up. She said, he's in a 10th grade homeroom. She said, yeah, he's not in the 11th grade, he's in a 10th grade. Oh, okay. Check him out anyway. I guess this is a good a time as any to give you the title of this sermon, if I haven't already gave it, which I don't think I have, but the title of this sermon is A Real Father. Because he disciplined me. And to this day, I thank him. I don't have a mark on my body, but I have the memory, because he was man enough to discipline me. It wasn't a conversation. It was just one thing. He needs to be disciplined. Got to the point, you know, I had my uncles knew what kind of father I had. He did not play. I had my grandfather, my mama had three brothers. They came over to the house, and as I got old, I kind of realized why they would come over to the house sometimes. It would be just to check on me because they know I've been cutting up. I thank God I had so many men in my life, but they'll open up the room door. I'll be in there sitting down mad, like I can't wait till I leave this place. I was truly upset. But when I think back over my life and what my father, a real man, did for me, y'all remember the times he took me and my brother fishing, caught a lot of fish. I remember the time he put us up a basketball goal. I remember the times he said, get out and mow the yard, and he showed us how to mow the yard. And see, back then, not unlike now, my youngest son, hey, Dad, I need a few dollars. Can I go out there and mow the yard and get some money? No, he said, hey, I need a yard. Okay, no problem. Because we knew. So So if I thank my father, my dad, for disciplining me and being a real father, now magnify that by 100 times. Look at what God has done for you. We are here right now. So, that being said, I couldn't wait to get home. I joined the military. I've had my flaws in life. I had my ups and downs. But I just thank God today that I have a father that I can go home to and tell him and talk to him and thank him about everything that I went through and thank him for everything he's ever done for me. Because I wouldn't be the man I am today if it were not for my dad. Now, I don't want to take long. I'm looking down and I'm looking at my sermon and there's certain parts of it that I wrote down, but there's certain parts that God just said, just let me work for you and talk through you. So the first point that I want to make is within this particular text right here of the prodigal son, the first thing I want you to understand is to make wise choices. We can make the choice in life, but we can't choose the consequences. So I'm saying that to say when we go out and we do certain things and we get beside ourselves, sometimes mom and dad might not be there. So when we're young and we look at our parents and we say to ourselves, I can't wait to get away from home. Everything that they tried to teach you, everything that grandmama, granddaddy, your uncles, your aunts, the people in the church tried to tell you or tried to teach you or tried to mentor you about, trust me, you live long enough, it's going to apply. And it's going to come back full circle. You're going to be like, yeah, I should have listened. Because we all make bad choices. None of us are perfect. From the pulpit to the congregation to the streets, none of us are perfect. But think about the choices you make in life. This particular young man, he said to himself, I'm going to ask for my one-third. See, back then, the law was he had two sons. So the oldest son was going to get two-thirds. He was going to get one-third. Now, he didn't wait for his father to pass away. He got beside himself, and he said, I want my one-third now. I just want to leave the house. Give me mine. You don't have to be dead. Just give me mine. And the father was so gracious. He said, okay, here you go. He took the money, and he went out on wild living. And down later, his brother knew. His brother said he was out with prostitutes. He was out drinking. He just got rid of all his money. But then, the second thing that I want you to understand is the consequences. He spent all his money, and there was a famine in the land. So he had to go and work, feeding pigs. And it got so bad, he got so hungry, he was willing to eat what the pigs were eating. So can you imagine? I could only think of another verse. Teach up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are older, they will learn from it. They will keep it to their heart. So this father, he had to have been a good father, because his son started reciting things before he even got back home. I got to go back to the father. So he got the nerves up and he started to go back home to his father. So the third thing I want you to understand is coming back to the father. This young man, he was stinking. He didn't have no money. But he must have remembered something his father said, because he was going back to his father. So he said something to him. It doesn't go in detail what kind of father it was, but we can read long enough in this text and it'll tell you what kind of father he was. He was a beloved, loving father, and he must have been looking for his son the whole time he was gone. Because one day he looked down the road, he saw his son coming down the road. So he ran to his son. Didn't give his son time to come to him. He ran to his son. And he hugged him. He loved on him. He welcomed him home. Get a robe. Get a ring. Put sandals on his feet. Dress him up. Make him look good. Make him look, just put everything on him and bring him in. And let's celebrate. But he had a brother. His brother had heard the partying and stuff going on. He asked one of the servants, well, what's going on? What they doing? Your brother has came home. He was lost, but now he's found. Come on, let's go celebrate. Nope. I know what he did. He asked for the money. Dad gave it to him. The father gave it to him. He went out and squandered his money, but now he came back. I ain't going there. But see, let me read this for you real quick. 15 verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. See, this is why Jesus read this in the first place, about the lost sheep, about the lost coin, about the lost son. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's sort of what the son sounds like. Because if anything, you should be happy that your brother made it home alive. But sometimes we can get beside ourselves. And I'm coming to an end. We can be like this brother. I was listening to a song. It was a rap song, and I listen to Ricky Smiley. I listen to YouTube. I look at YouTube. I gotta know what my kids are listening to. I listen to it. But then again, I was raised up in a time when you had Public Enemy, and I say, hey, but this is what I used to listen to. But we can be like this brother, because if someone comes into church, and sometimes we get the mindset of like, look at what she got on. Did you smell him? Did you see what he had on? Why is her child even in church? He was in the club last night. I can't believe she's here right now. She was out drinking last night. Who are you to tell anybody that? Who are we to tell anybody that? In this day and age, we need to be more loving. We need to be more caring. And we need to be more loving and caring to our young men. And this is why I said, Mother's Day, I love you, but our young men are going through some things right now. In Kentucky, some of you probably seen it on YouTube, in Louisville, Kentucky, a young man was just riding. They said he made a wide turn, so the police just pulled him over. His mama worked for the courts. Police didn't know that, but they pulled over to this young man, and he said, Mama, he was talking to his mom on speakerphone. He said, Mama, the police don't pull me over. About like 17 years old. You couldn't hear the mama, but you sure couldn't hear him say, Mama, they don't pull me over. Mama, now they're taking me out the car. Mama, they're taking me out the car. He said, Sir, I gave you my license. I didn't do anything. They took him out, handcuffed him, put him down on the back of another car, had a German Shepherd go through his car because they were racially profiling him. Now this happened like a year ago, but it's coming more relevant today. And this particular young man has filed a lawsuit because even the police chief in Louisville, Kentucky, done said it must have been wrong, because he done changed the bylaws and within the regulations so that they won't get in that kind of incident again with youth. But that ain't the only young man that's having that issue today. It's a lot of our young men that are having that issue today. And I'm saying that to say this. We, as men, I'm fortunate. I'm blessed. I thank God that I still have my father. I think that I was able to be up under Reverend Chris. I think that I've able up under Pastor Jackson, my mom's brothers. I was raised by a whole bunch of men. And once I started applying everything those men ever taught me, it just seems things started going up. And every time I seemed to fall back down, something I remembered that one of them said to push me even further than where I was going before. So I think that whenever we get an opportunity as men to go to some schools around here, whether it's to help young men tie ties, whether it's to help young men dress for an interview, whether it's to go help a young man, teach him how to go fishing, go tell a young man that you love him. We have to get away from that stuff. Wow, you know, I can't trust nobody nowadays. Ain't no telling what he been doing. I'm going to tell you something now. You come to this church right here. There's a bunch of great men here, over here and over there at the other campus. They have programs in place. And I'll tell you first and foremost, every young man out there, I love the men as well, but every young man out there, 21 years old and younger, I will tell you from this pulpit, I love you. Make good grades in school. When things get hard, you always have somebody to go back to. And even if you don't have a father right now, you can find someone here who will help you, who will take care of you, and who will lead you on the right path. So whenever you're in doubt, if there's not a man that you can go to in your house, and in some instances, some of our young men are in some situations. And if you know one of them, tell them to come here. Just lead them here. It's men here that are willing to help them. All right, in closing, many parents, then and now, know the feeling. Children might grow up, make stupid choices, hurting themselves and others, but they're still our children, and we love them no matter what. We might hate what they've done, but our love for them overpowers all else. What I want you to get from this particular text, the father in the story represents God. The lost son represents those who have been spiritually lost, but who want forgiveness. And the older brother, unhappy about the glad reunion, may represent the Jewish leaders who don't like seeing Jesus, leaders in the company of sinners. But Jesus wants the Jewish leaders to see sinners as children, whom God is eager to welcome home.